Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. And really, this is the beginning of the new year. Even though we were on the show Friday, January 1st, to welcome aboard everybody. But you can't really be the new year until you've had tamales and margaritas with your animals. And Pauline and Arnello.
And lots of champagne.
And lots of champagne. And then at that point, you're saying, okay, it is the new year. Now, I'm joined today, you know, instead of Bad Bob, Bad Bob is in Las Vegas. And where he has earned that name, Bad Bob. Now, he says he's going to some kind of tech convention with his wife. Ha-ha.
I saw him dressed as Elvis when he left the building, so I can't say anything after that.
But Brenda said she was working on one of the fire things, and her name is not Bubbles anyway. So, but he should be calling in talking about the things that are going on in the tech. We're joined today instead by the enigmatic Eric.
Enigmatic? I've never been called that before.
Well, now you have. You've got the rest of the day to look it up. Okay. And Eric's been training to do this job, and as... Well, we may have to train somebody else, too. You never can tell with these itinerant gypsy producers that move in and out of people's lives. And speaking of moving into my life, my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. I think I'll stay.
Well, I hope so.
You know, it's not to say that every day's smooth sailing, but that'll mind the bumps.
Yeah, you know, just little bumps going on.
It's currently 32 degrees. Today's going to get to a high of 58, and it's foggy out. Our weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination, which is why we go out there on a regular basis. We were out there on New Year's Day and had a spectacular brunch with a group of great friends. But I have to say this morning, you know, welcome to 2010. I am thrilled to be standing and alive and all the parts are working, but my heart is heavy. My heart is heavy today, Carl.
Why is that?
Well, it really upsets me to no end, and I don't like feeling helpless. And the only thing we really have control over is truly, you know, our emotions and what we do with ourselves through our day. But I am very upset with the fact that Guantanamo and or Gitmo and the people who plotted against our country and many of them responsible for the bombings of 3,000 people are being sent back to Yemen. And I just feel in all parts of my being that this is so wrong, because my feeling is they're going to go back to their land and scheme a new way to bring harm on our country.
Well, this seems to be, you're not the only one that your heart's running heavy on this one. When we made the decision to try terrorists in our own courts to give them the rights of American citizens, even though they are combatants in a terrorist war, that's got a lot of people upset. I don't quite understand how we're going to be able to bring these people to a trial. How do you bring them to a trial of their peers? Are you going to bring in other people from their country? Are you going to, I mean, because wherever they come from, let's say they come from Yemen, and they have been raised in these villages to hate Americans, and they're all Muslim. So is a trial of their peers going to be Muslims who have been who have lived a life like they've lived in Yemen? So I mean, how is that? So how is, am I missing something here that this is how they're going to be put on trial? And then what about the rules of evidence? If you're going to have a trial in the United States and you have rules of evidence, what can be admitted, what can't? So Holder's already said they're not going to allow a lot of stuff in, so how is that going to be a fair trial?
Well, first, you're not going to change their minds. You're going to not going to change the core belief of these people. So aren't you or aren't we going to feel horrible if there is another great atrocity that is brought onto our soil, to our Americans, to our the people who are get up every day and they go to work and they do what they can to, you know, pay taxes and be law-abiding citizens and try to do the right thing. And then all of a sudden there's a great atrocity that happened where something's bombed and killed and family members killed. And it ends up being one of the same guys who was brought here and detained for all these years, 6 years, 7 years later.
And then released.
And then released.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this after we take this break. Among other things, too, we're going to be talking about a column in the local paper that seems to have created a little bit of a firestorm here. This is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. This is January 4th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This is Participation Radio. Give us a call. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good morning. It's 7:15 a.m. if you're just waking up. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. We're taking your calls, 605-4567. What did you do over New Year's? Have anything to share with us? Love to hear from you. In the meantime, we're going to fill in the blanks with a bunch of stuff that, you know, we feel like we need to talk about this morning.
Well, you know, in that last part we talked about is, you know, the trials for people going that were in Guantanamo Bay and they're up there in New York and places to move them in Illinois or other places. You know, probably the final thing on this is, Holder said, even, you know, if they're found not guilty, they're not going to turn them loose. And if that's the case, then why are we doing this? I mean, why are we doing this? Why are we putting them on trial and giving them the rights? You know, I understand that they are Mirandizing. That means they're giving them the right to remain silent until they talk to their lawyer. Until, you know, to some of the people they're captured in Afghanistan. You know, there seems to be something wrong with that, too. I don't, you know, people have got to stop treating this like an armed robbery and start treating it for what it is. It's a war, people. It's a war. They're trying to kill us. They're training people right now to kill us. They're loading their shorts up with explosives, and they're trying to blow up airliners. And it's not a joke. You know, people can laugh. You know, I haven't heard any jokes about people loading explosives in their BVDs. But let's go to the phones here. Bruce, you're on the line.
Well, good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Well, just would like to amplify a little bit with what you were talking about on that Gitmo issue there. This is insanity at its utmost. Just follow it through for a while and see the prison that they're going to buy, evidently, or trying to buy. That $140 million would be the pickup price of getting it, and then it would be who knows how much more to put another perimeter fence around they're talking about. But let's go back and look at the prisoners they're bringing over here, 200 of them. Each and every one of them will have its own attorney paid by us with their staff. These guys won't be tried in my lifetime, maybe not in your lifetime. And this is insanity. I mean, OJ got loose. You think these guys can't get loose? They only need one of those guys. That, like you say, they have to be tried by their peers. Where are they going to get these guys? I mean, Dugan Barr could go get these guys off. They say they're innocent. The only reason they said they were guilty is because they were waterboarded.
I was tortured. I was scared. They overfed me. They took me away from my property. They were mean to me. They took my Quran and only let me have it 12 times a day. You know, this is such a load of crock.
It is, really. And if you just look at just the cost of the issue, it'll be $1 billion. I mean, these attorneys, just think of the attorneys. That every one will have their own attorney that we pay for with all. That's incredible.
Their health care will be better than the average Americans. Their dental care will be better than the average Americans. And then, you're right, the hidden cost, which will not be hidden for too much longer once it starts, is how much are the attorneys charging the citizens of the United States to keep terrorists in an American jail getting American legal assistance. I mean,
right.
You know they're charging $250 an hour, and that's if it's cut rate.
That's probably more than that, but even whatever it's going to be a number that's just... I mean, these attorneys are probably lining up friends of friends of the Chicago group right now, making sure they get involved in this. With the real estate transaction, with the construction that they need for the prison that they're trying to buy there. This whole thing is crazy. I mean, I can't believe it.
Have you noticed that in all these changes they're making in health care and these other things, how the you haven't heard one attorney's group jump up and say, oh, no, this isn't fair.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, why do you think that is?
Yeah, right. Anyhow, I just want to throw my two bits at you guys there. Let everybody think about that when November runs around next year.
Well, we're going to keep pinging on it until then. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. You know, I think for me, for and not just myself as a woman, but for you know, your family, you protect your family, and those things that you can protect, and when you feel like you aren't being that your interests, the best interests of you and your country, aren't being handled correctly, or you feel unsafe, it really is a creepy feeling. Now, you remember how we all came together after 9/11 and everybody flew flags, and we were standing in grocery store lines, and we did things where, wow, we helped that woman with the shopping cart. We did things like, oh my God, we've rattled. For the first time in our generation, we were rattled. The only time I think this country was rattled was on December 7th. And then we were rattled. And so that's a weird kind of underlying feeling that I have going into this first of this year. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just a, you know, a normal 51-year-old woman who's been traveled internationally. Oh, by the way, speaking of internationally, I'm going to give you the headlines of the places that, starting according to the ET today, are going to go into turbo, whatever that means, as far as traveling, what they're going to do. So after this break, we're going to go there, get that information to you. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Do give us a call, 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567.
Currently 34 degrees. A little foggy outside, so be careful. Make sure you get your brights on, bundle up. 34 degrees, weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
You know, sometimes things happen over the weekend people don't notice, but it appears that Reading City Manager Kurt Starman's going to put off his scheduled pay raises for another year as he wants to set an example.
We need to have Kurt on.
Well, we are. And the City Council will consider Starman's request to defer for 1 year a pair of 3.5% pay raises due to him under his contract. I don't think they'll turn him down. He'll also continue taking 2 unpaid furlough days each month as an equivalent of 9.2% pay cut. So he's taking essentially his pay has gone from over $200,000 to like $190,000. I know people are still screaming it's $190,000, but you know, Starman is at least setting an example. You've got the county. Of course, they want the sheriff's deputies and the jailers to take a 9% cut, according to an article you saw. And they only took a 5% cut. Now, I realize that it's a tough job out there in the Shasta County supervisory positions, but if you're going to ask your people to take a 9% cut, then by golly, you ought to take one of the same amount. You know, parts of these jobs are part-time. I shouldn't say that. Other people, I think almost everybody out there, unless they're retired, have got another business, too. I'm not saying they're not earning the money, but if you're going to tell your people you got to take a 9% pay cut, then you ought to take a 9% pay cut. You know, Starman's taking a 9% pay
That's
cut.
That's leadership.
Well, you know, it's you know, people can complain about it, but Starman's doing it. And, and it came out during the weekend on a time that word, you know, that word really doesn't get around. I'm not saying Starman's perfect, but he's taking a 9% when time you add everything up. And he's doing this because of what's going on in the employment. Now, does he still make a lot of money? Yeah. I mean, he makes $190,000 a year, which is somewhat over the average of the local Reading population. But he's doing something here. We need to... Now, if we could just increase our tax revenues by 9%, we'll be okay. You know, somebody the other day talked about going down and buying... if you get a much better deal down in on a car down in Corning or someplace like that. And they've really missed the point here. We were talking about this last night. They missed the point is how much of a better deal is it really? But then all the money, all those tax dollars, everything that you spend down in Corning does nothing to help the roads, to help pay for a policeman, to help pay for a sheriff's deputy. if you go out of this county. I mean, you can get good deals right here, local businesses, and guess what? All those tax dollars stay in town. Those tax dollars just go for that officer Knuckles who comes out and takes care of your of the hit and runs and the the reports. They keep police on the road. She's a community service officer, or it helps keep that extra sheriff's deputy working. You know, so when you need it, you know, think about that. You know, oh my gosh, in online shopping. Yeah, it's easy. Oh, I don't want to go out there and hit the crowds and all that. What's it doing to what's it doing to our economy? We're down 17%, my friends. You got to go out there. You know, maybe it does take a little bit, but these local businesses will work with you. They'll work with what you need. You know, online shopping should be that should be the
last resort.
The last resort is to leave this area. And I hate to say this, Lowe's, Costco, but you know what? Go to our local ones before you go there. You know, it's just the fact is that if we're going to get ourselves out of this morass that we're in, we've got to build our business structures up. We have to go to our local businesses. We have to support our local businesses, and we have to find a way to bring other businesses in there. What is our city council? What is our board of supervisors doing to enhance bringing businesses in, even during this tough times?
And the city planner, all of
city planning commission, everything.
Well, remember, I told you before the break we were going to talk about the TSA lists, the countries of interest, and there will be more screening for some flyers. According at midnight, TSA directive that took effect targets people flying from or through 10 countries of interest, as well as the 4 nations that are considered sponsors of terrorism. That's what makes my stomach turn. They're sponsors of terrorism. The countries of interest are Afghanistan, Algeria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Yemen. So the people who were the administration officials who were briefed on the new rules, they did not want to be identified because they were not authorized to discuss details publicly. But the State Department lists 4 countries that sponsor terrorism: Cuba, Iran, Sudan, and Syria. So this is another one of those disturbing news. I mean, I hate to start Monday off with just yuck, but I can't help that.
You are the sunshine.
I like to have a sunshiny disposition.
You are the one that finds these, you know, these things that make people smile in the morning. You know, terrorists, moving things. My goodness.
Well, we'll come back with something. I mean, we have to have something. But it's currently 35 degrees, foggy with it. The sun's coming out and breaking it out. But we're taking your call, 605-4567. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. This is clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:30. Oh, we're having a great day on Monday. You know what? I had lobster twice this past weekend.
You know, you did. So that's your lobster for the whole year.
It is. Couldn't pass it up. We had steak and lobster on New Year's Eve at the Elks Club. It was pretty good.
It was a crazy group.
We danced till the wee hours of the morning. And then the next day when we went out to Anselmo's, when I asked Chef John Stadelli, I love to ask the chefs when they come out, what do I really have to have today? Because they're back there and they're preparing and they know. And he said, you have to have the lobster. Well, I got to tell you, it was the most beautiful presentation of a lobster I've ever seen. He butterflied it, and it was a circle with the tails flipping up. It was just, I can't explain it. It was really cool. In fact, we'll probably post pictures pretty soon from our trip out there. It was good. It was really good. So what do you have on your agenda? What's up?
Well, we have, first of all, you know, talking about New Year's Eve, and we didn't talk a lot about it. Well, I guess we did on Friday. Lou White's band, he goes out there. Lou White has been a fixture in Reading for years, decades.
And Kathleen, his wife, is Woman of the Year with the Republican Women's Party.
But his group he's got out there playing, they have a repertoire of probably like 600 songs that they can play. You name it, It's in there. And he holds up this sheet of music, and they all look at it, they all nod their heads, and off they go. And it doesn't make any difference what it is. So it's kind of interesting to see that if you're, you know, for any occasion Lou White's at, he can play. All right. Alana Burke. Alana Burke is one of our show hosts on Saturdays. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But it appears that that she's caused a firestorm.
She always does.
With her,
I love it.
Column on illegal immigration. Before we get to that, we're going to get to Rick. He gets called in. Rick, good morning. Welcome to KCNR and Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, you two. How are you?
We're good, Rick. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
What's
too.
On
I
your mind?
I called in New Year's Day and talked to you guys about business, what was going on around the Reading area.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of confused right now. I'm curious to know how I can get into radio and have steak and lobster two nights in a row when I'm just eating fish heads and rice. Come
way,
on, tell
way,
me, guys.
The way you do that, okay, now, here's the way you do that, is you sell the dog. And it was one of those things that when you save up all year long, you save up $100, and she got, you didn't hear me saying I got steak and lobster, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, okay, well, you know, it was wedding anniversary, you know. So you
yeah, this is a special events you do that.
Yeah.
It was not like it was, these were $100, you know, evenings.
Yeah.
But truthfully, we did. It was a New Year's Eve night. Actually, it was really quite reasonable. And the next day, I know you're teasing us, and we're feeling like we have to make excuses. We don't have to make excuses.
Hey.
We emptied the piggy jar. The piggy bank jar.
I'm proud of you guys because I live good, too, and I try to enjoy life, too, for what it is.
Hey, we're media magnets here, you know, and we remind ourselves that as I'm doing the vacuuming,
we're taking out the garbage.
Linda's taking out the garbage. I'm sweeping out in front of KCNR.
Taking Lynn
you
off
know,
the floor.
Running things down to the shopping pack. You know, I mean, yeah, we're right in there. We're just like
okay,
any other
you guys,
small business.
Okay, I guess I won't send my application in then.
Well, Willie, what's on your mind? How would you like to start the new year for our Monday listeners? What have you got? What kind of juicy tidbit of whatever do you have?
Well, we talked last Friday or New Year's Day for a little bit, New Year's Eve day about businesses and stuff, but I think the best thing that any of us can do is stay positive and focused, support one another in business, and keep our money local, and it'll turn around for us here.
I agree 100% because it's if we continue to support local businesses, which is what we're all about here, the money stays in here. You know, it's these corporations that own these other places that every dollar is spent there, only like 40% stays in the town, if that. You know, 60% goes out of our city, out of our county. Local businesses, it's like 80% stays here. So, how
okay,
can
well
you
here,
not support local
here,
businesses?
Here's a good example. Okay, here's something that, you know, that I pledge. Okay, we have the brother, Carl's sister and brother-in-law. They're going to visit us in a couple weeks. They've never been to the North State. They're coming from Chattanooga. And, of course, I look around the house and I think, I got to get this painted and I got to do that. I might return, you know, fluff this up and do a little of that. Well, we as Americans have a tendency to go to your bigger box stores because of the fact that it's convenient where everything is in one stop. You know, we're always in a hurry. But how wonderful just to switch your mindset and think, okay, I'm going to buy my paint local, and I'm going to go buy, the knobs for if I'm going to change a knob or if I'm going to do something, I've got to look for it locally. And so that's my pledge. Everything this year, as much as I can, I want to turn it into 90% local.
I agree. I think the North State is a great place to live, and I think, like I said, if we all support each other and keep a positive attitude, this economy will turn around for all of us.
Well, you know, it always has, and we just have to make sure it gets a chance, and if people don't lose faith in the system that, you know, if you work hard, that you can make, you know, you can make something of yourself, that you will make a profit, that, you know, that we don't need the government sitting on our shoulders telling us what to do and then taking the money we make to give to those that are clueless. You know, the government has to leave enough money for us, you know, when we're working like this, to want us to continue to build and expand. You know, you want to expand your business. Every good entrepreneur wants to. So you're right, though, Rick. We can't lose faith. Can't lose faith in the system. We just got to keep moving. But it doesn't mean we have to go walk down the road and accept everything that's handed to us either. We must work also to change the system so it works for us.
Oh, I agree. And I'll tell you, I've kind of just been always business as usual and stuff, but I'm a warrior now. And if you get in my way, I'll tell you, I'm going to move you out of my way if you're bad news. And that's my attitude now, and I'm going to do everything I can to support good politicians who have good, straight, sound views and not for their best interest.
That's it. You know, hold the ones we have responsible. Find out what they've done. What are they going to do for this year? We've got a number of local politicians up for election and national. Everyone in the House is up for election. Boxer's up for election. What have you done for us, Barbara? What are you going to do to us? You know, what have you done for us, Wally? What are you going to do to us? Those
exactly.
kind of things. And you know what? Then we need to, and then we hold them to that. You know, what have you done for us in the past 2 years, you know, past 4 years, David Kehoe? What are you going to do for us in the next four? He's our supervisor. He's District 1 for a lot of people that live in Reading. You know, this is not going after anybody. This is not being, like you're going to be unfair to them. Have them explain what they've done and what they're going to do.
Have them accountable, you bet.
Accountable. Hey, Rick, thanks so much for your phone call.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Hey, you know what? He did call, and he is a contractor here locally. I think this is the same Rick.
Yeah, we don't know Rick, but
nope.
But he's—I tell you what—he's got a lot of common sense thoughts, and I know, and it's good. We, you know, local people supporting local businesses. And we're going to take a quick break here. We come back. I think Bad Bob's on the phone.
Big Bad Bob.
Big Bad Bob. And,
calling from Las Vegas.
Has that Elvis costume on. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. Phone lines here, 605-4567.
Good morning, Reading. This feels so good. This is Carl and Linda Bot. 35 degrees out. This is KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. So much more than just tobacco and brew. Wonderful Espresso Joe's coffee. You can get 16-ounce bags of the best roasted beans you'll find anywhere. Go try a shot over there at Espresso Joe's. Wonderful place. And Joe and Shelley, the owners, are great Americans. And as Carl says, it's the best walk-in humidor this side of Texas. Let's go to the phones. From Las Vegas, it is a Big Bad Bob.
Well, good morning, Carl and Linda. Yeah, it is. The sun is just coming up here at the Wyndham Resort in Las Vegas. And excuse me just a second. I think I'd be able to avoid that.
I'm not sure. Did you pull an all-nighter or what?
It sounds like you've been, sounds like you got a little jack.
Were you screaming?
Jack rattle there, Bad Bob.
Well, we did go to the Hard Rock Cafe, and that was very enjoyable. And, of course, when the bill arrives, you go, oh, my gosh, how much can a margarita possibly cost?
Oh, well, who did you hear? Was there somebody performing?
Nobody was performing. The city seems to be sort of recovering from the New Year's hangover.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, it is gearing up for the 2010 Consumer Electronics Show. It is the world's largest consumer technology trade show. They're expecting about 100,000 attendees. Now, that's down a little bit, but it's interesting that over the holidays, with all the shopping, technology, personal electronics, home entertainment, that was one of the few bright spots that people were buying. They still want to be entertained, even if they cut back in other areas. It's like during the Great Depression, people still went to the movies. The movie industry did very, very well. So we're going to be talking to folks, manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers, industry media, and one of the big themes this year is interesting. They're calling it the Silver Summit. Now, you know, the rock concerts and the motorcycles and the headphones we all loved when we were kids, that's sort of taken a toll. You need bifocals to be able to read your mobile phone. So this summit that's coming up later in the week will be focusing on products for folks in the 50-plus range, which is, of course, your largest growing consumer market. That's where the spending power is, and manufacturers are becoming very aware of that. And a part of that also is going to be the Digital Health Summit, how some of these innovations are going to help folks with diabetes or even just with the problems that come along with getting along in years, how it's going to make your life help you get along a little bit easier. So we're definitely looking forward to that, Carl and Linda.
Great. Well, how much was a margarita at the Hard Rock? I'm still wanting to hear that.
That sent me back about $17, but that was because I got the souvenir glass.
Souvenir glass. Hey, I thought they'd give you a break because you were dressed like Elvis last night.
Well, you know, the spandex just doesn't fit as well as it used to.
Did your straw glow in the dark?
Hey, after $17 margarita,
really
it should.
It was very cool going into the Hard Rock and seeing all the rock and roll memorabilia. If you've never been into a Hard Rock cafe, every one of them has some incredible, authentic rock and roll memorabilia. Their whole collection is like 70,000 pieces all over the world. And we were looking at, you know, like one of Presley's guitars and
wow.
The costumes, original costumes that the Kiss wore on stage and some of Michael Jackson's stuff. And it's just amazing looking at this, you know, these cultural icons and the Hard Rock Cafe and hotels. They've done a lot of to kind of keep that. There's sort of like a hall of fame that you can go and visit all over the world. So that was pretty cool.
Well, you know what I think would be interesting to hear when you get back as well, and I'm sure that when you have a safe journey back, and we'll be hearing from you on a regular basis, is you'll have people from all over the world, and it'd be interesting if you ever do start, you know, cover any political, how people are feeling about what's happening in America, and from the ears and eyes of people who are flying into Vegas from other parts of the world. You know, and it's always great when you do get to travel in a condensed area like that, because inevitably you will start to discuss something like that, state of affairs. So we're looking forward to hearing about that from you as well when you guys return.
Oh, absolutely. And the press area will be opening up tomorrow afternoon, and when we check in, that's one of the reasons we came down here is we wanted to make some contacts for Boomer Tech Radio, and also just to get a feeling for what's going on, because I've been a gadget head all along, and like I said, I now see people in their 60s and 70s using their iPhones and using MP3 players and things like that. So as I said, the manufacturers and the trade and the retailers are aware of that segment, so it's not all about what the tweens and 20-somethings are using now.
Great.
Hey, okay, Bob, we've got a break here. But, hey, Bob, just to let you know that...
Have a great
almost
day.
Almost all the shows played. We didn't drop any commercials or anything. I don't know if there's a correlation between you leaving and that happening. Oh, okay, don't think about that, Bob, on your way back. Give us a call tomorrow, Bad Bob. Give your wife
a call. All right, guys. You have a great show, and we'll talk to you later. Goodbye from Las Vegas.
All right.
Okay.
That was Bob Alonji. And they have a show on Saturday called Boomer Tech. But they're all week in Las Vegas at the Convention Center's Electronic Show. And if you've never been to something like that, it is the latest, the newest, and the entire convention center. I think the whole town has taken over, like you said, 100,000.
All the gadgets.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest has arrived in the offices of KCR.
In the green room.
It's Colonel Pete Stiglitz, and Pete is running for office. And we're going to talk to Pete, and we're going to talk about his reasons for running. And you all get a chance to get to know Pete Stiglitz better. But before we even get to that, we're going to be discussing an opinion piece in the Record Searchlight by Lana Burke concerning illegal immigrants. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're getting ready to wrap up this hour. And
35 degrees?
Pick up the next hour. Many people are killed every year in the United States. 1 in 34 people are killed in the United States. Rich, poor, black, white, it can happen to any household, any place in the nation. And you know what that leading cause of death is?
What?
Is it guns? Drugs? What? Auto accidents. Yep, auto accidents. Kill more people than anything. Averaging 41,000 deaths. I mean, you know, for accidental deaths. 41,000 over the last decade, a year. 41,000 people were killed a year. You know, and this year they had more people arrested for DUI than any other year. And they wonder why there's DUI checkpoints up. Yes, you know, people are saying it is a slap against my liberty, my freedoms, for somebody just to stop me for no reason. And the next step from that is just to stop me because they don't, maybe because I have a bumper sticker they don't like. 41,000 a year. And we worry about getting thumbprints to buy a box of 22 ammunition. Yesterday there was a column by Alana Burke about illegal immigration. And every time Alana writes something, you can guarantee there is a little firestorm of controversy by the bloggers, by the commenters on the record search line. In this case, there's like 111 of them, ranging from Alana, go girl, go, to you racist, and spots in between. And Alana Burke's got a show right here on KCNR on Saturdays. It's her show.
She's the official button pusher of the decade, I think. Yeah, she's.
You know, but what Alana was saying was, there's a new bill that's being proposed, and that bill essentially says that, if it's true, it hasn't been passed, but it's one of those things that come into the horizon, and we're not looking at it. Something about if you pay $500, you've got a job, then you can become a citizen if you speak English. Now, I'm not sure if that's really a good way of bringing people into this country. You know, people immigrate to our country, and we have friends that have done that, and that took them 3 to 3.5 years to go through the paperwork. He came in, he applied for a job. It had to be a job that he was trained to do. It had to be something that he was you know, going to be doing that specific job. He went through all the steps. It did take 3.5 years. He had to go back to England one time. He and his entire family, you know, to get their visa restamped and come back to the United States again. But then he was given his green card. And if you talk to this gentleman, who, by the way, you know, they had to do all these background investigations, right? Well, this gent was a member of the Royal Navy, had worked for the Marine Corps for years. He held top secret clearances and worked on projects that many people will never even hear of because of the security clearances were so high. And yet it still took him 3.5 years to come through here. He did it the right way. You know, a lot of the problems of our country have to do with the fact of illegal immigration. I'm sorry, people. It's not a racist thing to say that. You know, it's the truth. In California, we're spending billions of dollars a year. Billions of dollars a year on social services, education, health, for people that shouldn't be here. They're not here legally. They walk across the border. They run across the border. Is it wrong for me to say, why can't you do it legally? Am I a bad person to say, if somebody is here illegally, that we push them out? If you want to know how to solve the problem of illegal immigration, it's simple. You know, Republicans and Democrats are both like this. The way you do it is, one, seal the border. We can do that, and it won't take a million troops. Technology, and you'd be surprised how many people it would take to do it, and not a lot. The next thing you do is, anybody who employs an illegal alien is fined $25,000. The first time. You know, you take this man, you've hired him, you get fined for it. And how about this? You don't use education. Before you can sign somebody up for our educational system, they've got to have a ID card, a state or federal. And that means a driver's license. And that doesn't mean you give a driver's license to somebody who's here illegally. And one of the largest things you can do, one of the things you have to do, is just because you're born here in our great country does not make you an automatic citizen if your parents are here illegally. Do not come across the border, have your baby, go back to wherever you're at, and expect to use your baby to bring you in. It's wrong. It's just completely wrong. We've got to solve this problem. This is election year. Hold our people that are running for office feet to the fire. What are you going to do to stop this illegal problem? This is Colin in the Bot, KCNR, 1460 AM. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's the second hour, and this is guest hour.
Free Fire Radio. Wow, I'll tell you, in the studio right now is somebody who's very special, who has decided to take a stand and run for an office that is not just any office. It's been the office at this current time has been held by the same person for what? How many years?
At least 22. Congressman Wally Herger has held his position for probably at least 22 years that I know of. 11 or 12 times he's been elected in there.
So we'd like to welcome this morning Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running for Congress. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So, Pete, you're running as a Republican against a Republican incumbent. You want to explain that one?
Sure, absolutely. No problem at all. You know, and as you said, Congressman Herger has been in that seat for actually going on some 24 years. I got to start off by saying, and I think we'll all agree, that he is a very good and decent man, and I applaud him and thank him for his many years of service. And as I've watched his voting record and his actions in Congress, I've noticed that on a number of instances, he's been on the wrong side of some of the issues, some of the real critical issues, especially lately. And notwithstanding, he is a good Republican, and he votes lockstep pretty much with the Republican Party. I question how much of a conservative he really is. So that concerns me, and if I could, I'd like to just share a couple examples of those areas of concern that that tell me that perhaps he's not the right man for the office anymore to carry the banner for the conservative cause. You know, we're all familiar with the TARP bill, the bailout bill of the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac mortgage company, and we know that bailout bill, the TARP bill, added over $700 billion to the national debt as we tried to bail out all these bad loans that were made over the years. And that's one bill that I and a lot of Americans would not have voted for. It was a bad bill. It was a very bad bill. It placed our country further in debt, and unfortunately, Congressman Herger decided that he was going to support that bill, and he voted for it. And that opened, actually, the barn door, if you will, for all the other stimulus packages that have since followed. So that was a $700 billion mistake by Mr. Herger. And I've heard recently that he said, well, maybe if I had to do over again, I wouldn't have voted for it. Well, it's too late. You know, we invested $700 billion of money we don't even have that we're borrowing from the Chinese. Bad action on his part, and doesn't show to me that he's a conservative. The other one, a couple other ones here, some folks might not be aware of, is he voted in favor of the Medicare Part D prescription drug program. Now, that program was sponsored by President George Bush, and although it's well-intended to help our seniors out, and I agree with that, there was no funding lined up to support and pay a bill that was going to come due, and estimates are that that's going to cost the American taxpayers about $1 trillion over a 10-year period, and that money goes directly against the national debt. There is no offset. There are no revenues planned to come in to offset that cost. 100% of that total is going against the national debt, and we'll talk more about that debt. As we all know, today it's about $12 trillion. So that's another example of a Republican that truly didn't stand up for his conservative values. And, of course, year after year after year, this nation has been passing budgets that are deficit-laden with no real effort to control and bring down our national debt. And Mr. Herger has voted for all of those debts and those deficit budgets. So those are real significant concerns of mine. And if we don't do something quick to fix this problem, I'm worried about the future of this country.
Okay, this is Carl Lindebot. Our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to introduce our our guest here and let him tell a little bit about himself. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Give a call to the candidate.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. We're taking your calls. This is your time to ask the candidate, 605-4567. Good morning. We are here with our special guest, Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running for Congress. Colonel in the?
United States Air Force.
Okay, so tell us, give our listeners a little history about who you are.
I'd be happy to do that. Well, first of all, I am a native Californian. I was born back in 1953 down in L.A. Father worked for United States Steel Corporation and was also in the Air Force Reserves. And Mom, she stayed at home and kept things under control and took care of all the kids and got us to school on time and pretty much raised us. Eventually, we moved out to Pennsylvania. My father's job took him out there and with U.S. Steel. And I attended, now don't laugh, okay, I attended college out there at Slippery Rock State College. We, those of us that are alumni, call it affectionately Slimy Pebble. And, you know, I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in education, and eventually, right after college, graduated and got a teaching job in the Pittsburgh area where I taught speech and English for 3.5 years. I also coached baseball and speech forensics during my time there. And then, you know, after about 3.5 years being a young guy, I had this call to come serve my country and decided to join up with the United States Air Force, and I was fortunate enough to get selected for officer training school. And then in 1980, I got commissioned as a brand new second lieutenant and off and running from there. The rest is kind of history. I will share with you real quickly because I think it's relevant to my qualifications. You know, I have... I rose through the ranks, 26 years in the Air Force. Most of you know I retired as a full colonel in the Air Force. I've done a lot of different things. Most of my time was in procurement, senior acquisition-type jobs, representing the American taxpayer. I've been deployed overseas to Cambodia as a military observer. I've been to the Balkans, to Bosnia and Croatia, in support of NATO operations over there. I've worked at the National Security Agency. In fact, I worked for the director, Mike Hayden, before he became the CIA director, and used to brief Director Hayden went to see at the NSA, and then I actually briefed at the CIA headquarters and also in the Pentagon many times. So I've got a lot of experience in that regard, a lot of experience leading people. So it kind of gets to my qualifications here. And frankly, I'll throw in before I forget, you know, more and more each day we're losing veteran experience in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to tell you that brings a certain perspective that's unique to those who have served our country, and I think we need to retain that and make sure we elect those veterans that are qualified to represent us in Washington, D.C. Anyway, back to my own personal history. I finished my 26-year Air Force career. You know, one of the last jobs I had was as the on-site commander for a number of units located directly in the contractor's facilities, major aerospace defense firms. Last one was I was the boss down at Lockheed Martin in Sunnyvale, California, responsible for making sure that that contractor produced good warfighting equipment for our taxpayers and for our warfighters. And that was a really tough job because I was the man on the ground there between the customers out in the field fighting and the American taxpayer and the contractor. And I defended those rights hard, and I never compromised my integrity or my ethics at all. In fact, I never accepted anything from the contractors, and there were opportunities to get freebies from them. I wouldn't do it because I think it sets a bad example, and it's a slippery slope. So anyway, I retired after a very successful Air Force career and got home to my ranch in Cottonwood that I bought back in 1989, a nice little 40-acre slice of heaven off of Gas Point Road. I just love it there. I moved my mom and dad there and my sister, and they love it out there. And you know, I've always wanted to continue my service to the country and decided, as I saw what was going on in Sacramento, that perhaps I ought to run for state-level government. And some of you know I did run for the Assembly. I was a fresh guy right out of the military. Really didn't know what I was doing, but the passion was there, like it is here as I run against Wally Herger here for Congress. We need good people back in the government, and what I'm seeing is, you know, party politics, personal agendas, philosophical agendas are keeping the parties from working together for the common good of the country. And that is where our priority needs to go back to, so we can find common ground and put aside these political differences where we can, without compromising our values, of course, and do what's best for the country. And maybe later we'll have time to talk about some of my top priorities that I think we ought to be able to find common ground on. So that kind of gives you an idea where I am. And you know, I had enough folks over the last year or so recommend that I run for Congress or give it some consideration. That I guess that's why I'm here today.
605-4567. We are talking with Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running for Congress. So call now. This is your time to ask the hard questions.
So, Pete, when you what would be one of the first things you would do if you were elected to Congress? I mean, you're working in a Democratic-controlled Congress, which doesn't mean you can't fight a good action. But first, let me make a comment about veterans in Congress.
Yeah.
This past couple of years, we have seen a few more veterans elected in the House of Representatives and such. And one of the things we started noticing as far ago as 20 years was that many of our congressmen and senators had no military experience. But what was even more dangerous in our eyes was that none of their staff had military experience. And if you know anything about Congress and and the Senate and our House of Representatives, the bills that come through there, and just as an example is the health care bill. 2,400 pages of legalese. Now, do you expect the senator and the representative to go through every page? Well, yes, I do. I expect them to do that, but they don't. So what do? Is they have their staff break it down and, you know, read through it, you know, so that they probably give them the abridged version of maybe 250 pages that they have to read, or maybe even less, which is even scarier. So what you're doing is you rely on your staffers.
Right.
If your staffers don't have any type of military experience and something comes across their desk, they go, oh, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Kind of like when Obama, in front of 11 veterans organizations, said that veterans who had been wounded in combat, who had been medically retired, and should just use their own private insurance to take care of those
right,
injuries incurred in war. I mean, and the reason this happened is because of his total naivety about military, and then his staff, who had no idea either. That, oh yeah, this sounds like a good idea. I mean, hey, they volunteered. Why shouldn't they volunteer to take care of their own injuries?
It's 8:19 in the morning. The weather is 36 degrees. We're taking your calls at 605-4567. We've got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's about 8:23. Our phone line here is 605-4567. Our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running for United States Congressman. And Pete.
Yes, Carl.
What's the first thing you would do if you were elected?
Well, the first thing I'd do is deal with the overreach of federal government. I'm going to talk about that, but if I could, I want to go back just a bit to my qualifications. And you know, one thing that keeps coming up very once in a while here with people as they talk with me is, well, you've never held elected office before, so how are you qualified? And, you know, don't you need to go through start out at the local level and be the dog catcher guy and then work your way up to county supervisor and then onto the state level and then maybe eventually when I'm 100 years old, you know, end up in Congress? Well, you know, I did a little research on that, and I just want you to know, if you go to congress.org, they've got a listing there. If you type it in under search and listing, the question would be, how many congressmen have no prior elected service? You know, I'm going to tell you there are 125 right now, 125 currently serving representatives and senators in Washington, D.C., who were elected with no prior elected experience. And a couple of names that you might recognize on the Republican side, Senator Orrin Hatch out of Utah. Never was elected for anything before he got the job he's in now. Representative David Dreyer here in California. Representative Duncan Hunter, who's a pretty good guy, never held a prior elected office. I think you'll recognize some of those names, and they're pretty impressive names. There are a total of 125 of them, folks. So, you know, and if you stop and think, look at what's going on in Sacramento today. And then look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. Do you really believe that having prior elected experience makes those folks any more competent or any more ethical than a guy that spent 26 years in the United States Air Force serving his country, serving the nation and the people? I would suggest to you that prior elected experience really isn't a denominator here, folks. It's your passion, it's your commitment to your country and to the people you're elected to serve. So I wanted to go into that. Now, unless you've got any comments on that, Carl, I'll step into my priority if I could.
Sure.
I think number one and two are very close to each other, but number one is, boy, folks, we got to get back to the Constitution. And I know that's become a popular thing to say today, but and frankly, I've learned a lot in the last year or so about the Constitution. I too have sat up and paid attention. I guess I always assumed, like a lot of Americans, that our elected officials were doing the right things to support and defend that Constitution that the oath says that they're supposed to do. But we know that's not happening. And and clearly there is Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. If you haven't read it, go look at it. I'm doing a YouTube video on it. Enumerates the 18 specific powers that are delegated to the federal government. And if it ain't there, our founding fathers intended that the deference would be back to the states and to the people. And for sure that's not happening here. We can go down a whole litany of things that the federal government's gotten involved in. Everything from Department of Education, Department of Energy, which I think frankly are useless and have little to show for the hundreds of billions of dollars we're wasting on them, to the TARP bailout bills and on and on and on that are truly unconstitutional. So I think reigning in federal government, getting it back to respecting the Constitution as our founding fathers first intended, is first and foremost important. Okay, and we just got to keep working at that all the time and never lose sight of that. I'll share with you, and it was an interesting thing on the internet I happened to come across, and that was an interview on Fox News that Judge Napolitano was having with Representative James Clyburn out of South Carolina. He's a Democrat, and the judge asked him, where in the Constitution does the Congress have the authority to implement national health care? And here is the quote from the congressman, Clyburn. He said, quote, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the federal government has anything to do with most of the stuff we do, unquote. And then he went on to dig his hole a little deeper, and he said, how about you show me where in the Constitution it prohibits the federal government from doing this? And obviously he's not familiar with Article 1, Section 8, and all of the enumerated powers that are listed there, and Amendments 9 and 10 as well. I mean, this is troublesome and scary, folks, and tells me that we've got to fix this problem right up the front. And if it means voting them all out, which actually I've kind of come around to that may be the only solution we have, is just throw them all out and start all over again. How much worse could it get by having a bunch of new folks in Congress that are really focused on the people and on the Constitution?
That I see is that sometimes when people are in seats of power for any length of time, I think everybody starts off wanting to fix things, wanting to make things right. And then the longer they're in there, then they have to start compromising to get things done. If you're a Republican, you need to compromise with a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you need to compromise with either Republican or even people in your own party. There's, you know, politics is played just as hard within the parties as it is, you know, through the parties against each other. You know, I think then once you start compromising ideals, once you start compromising what you stand for, then the next time it becomes even easier to compromise. I think because of that, we need to have term limits. What do you think about that?
Well, it kind of fits with what I'm saying. Term limits. If there's no other way to make this changeover and bring things back under control, I'm all for term limits. Absolutely.
You know, people say, well, that's what elections are for. But unless somebody does something pretty grievous there, that the chances, if you're an elected official at Congress and the House of Representatives or the Senate, your chances of being reelected is something like 95% or something like that.
Right.
It's in the 90% range because of a lot of the perks they give you when you're there.
Exactly.
And the way that they draw the way they draw their districts out. And you know, so it's already tough.
Could I just add to that?
Sure.
Carl, you know, I think in our founding fathers' vision, you know, they believed in citizen legislators. Folks that came in from the farms and the factories and fields, went and served their government for a short period of time, made their contributions in a good way to their country, and then they returned back to their back to their homes and to their workplaces. You know, we've gotten so far away from that, and I frankly, term limits kind of helps to get us back to that regard where we don't have professional politicians. Look, you know, I already put my career, I've got it locked up, and I'm good with my military pension and my military career, and I was very happy with it. I'm not looking for another long-term career, but I am so concerned about where this country is headed that you know, we all need to get involved, and this is my way of getting involved. Other folks join Tea Party groups, which I've attended. In fact, you know, I was down at the one in Sacramento this summer, and some folks carry banners and write letters to the editor and what have you. I've got the gumption to get out here. I'm not afraid to go after the big guys, and what can they do to me? You know, I'm here for the people, and I'm going to give it my best shot. So I'm all for term limits. Anything that gets us back to the citizen legislator, absolutely.
Well, you know, when they asked George Washington if he wanted to be king, you know, he said no.
No, thank
you. And then after 8 years, he did go home. And I agree 100%. People have listened to us in the past know that I believe in citizen legislators. I believe in the fact that people should, this should not be a profession for them. And yet we see people starting at dog catcher, going up to county super, to a city hall, then to county supervisor, then to assemblyman, then to senator, and then then they make the round robins again. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. It's currently 8:33. The weather is 36 degrees. It's cloudy, kind of getting a little bit clearer out, but make sure you put your brights on. The weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination. We're taking your calls this morning at 605-4567. The guest in the house right now is Colonel Pete Stiglitz. Let's go to the phones. Line one, good morning, Noni. You are on KCNR.
Oh, good morning. I hate to call in because everything is going so good and it's so exciting. What Pete's saying, I don't have a question. I just have a couple of comments. I'll make them brief so if anybody does have questions, they can come in. I think Pete will be a great congressman. And just listening to things he's talking about this morning are super. I don't know if anybody else noticed this or not, but, you know, just got the IRS booklet, and on the front of it has a picture of the Constitution and the flag, and I thought that took a lot of nerve, you know, putting that right on the IRS booklet. But at any rate, I just am excited about the things that Pete has been talking about, and truly, we do need more conservatives, Republican conservatives, to serve our country. And as they call them, traditional conservatives, Republican conservatives, whatever it is. But I think Pete will be just really great in that. And even, you know, if God forbid that the Democrats, you know, continue to stay in control, we still need people like Pete to be in there to make statements and to let people alert them know what's going on. Senator Tom McClintock has been doing, or Congressman McClintock has been doing, and Pete will continue on, I'm sure, in that same vein, and, you know, I just think it's really great. So, again, I just think it's great, and I will get off here so other people can call in with questions or comments. Okay? God bless you all, and thank you.
Thank you, Noni,
and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Noni.
The other ways you can get to us besides calling 605-4567 is sending us emails, and, you know, it's either Carl or you can send one to Linda at kcnr1460.com, which somebody did, by the way. And they sent us something, and something we talked about a little bit earlier about illegals being in the country. And he sent me, he had written, and he has not given me permission to use his name. I don't know if he'd mind, but let's just say G, wrote to a Senator Feinstein, and what she said was...
I was playing with your
thoughts. Yes,
thanks, honey. Is that what she
what
said?
What she said was that she did not agree. She
I pressed the wrong button, sorry.
You sure did, just when I was talking about it.
I wanted to see it, too.
Diane does not agree with us in saying that. Let me put it that way. What Diane says is that she is in complete, she has complete confidence that our system can handle the terrorists being brought to trial in the United States, that we've had over 200 terrorists brought to trial in the United States, and our federal courts and judges and prosecutors have put them in jail in supermax facilities, and that they're being kept there in isolation to keep them away from the rest of the population so they cannot convert people to radical Islamic feelings. She believes that, in fact, the Attorney General has assured me that the U.S. government has sufficient untainted evidence to obtain a conviction against a suspected 9/11 terrorist in the federal judicial system. And he also made it clear that U.S. government's ability to try and convict suspected terrorists in either a federal or military commission does not depend on whether they were read their Miranda rights. Okay, there's the other side. She believes that it can be done. Holder has convinced her that we can bring terrorists onto our soil. We can give them sufficient trials. But you know what? I think of our legal system. Our legal system bends over backwards to give the accused a fair deal, a more than a fair deal. And the first time, and Linda said it earlier, first time you used the term waterboarded or coerced statements, that's got to have an impact. I mean, you say, well, wait a minute, then we're going to have to get that out.
Let's go to the phones.
Right.
Good morning, Roberta. You're on KCNR 1460.
Yes, thank you, and good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Roberta.
Good morning, Pete. I'm just really thankful that we have a choice and a good choice to vote in as congressman this time. And I think the problem that I'm so unhappy with is that when the Republicans were in power, and people say don't look back, but because when we had a Republican Congress and president, we did not secure our borders. We did not cut spending, and like Pete said, that medical or the prescriptions for people, that is so terrible. They are, the federal government, it is immoral to take money, my private property, and to give it to somebody else. It is legalized theft, and we do need to get back to the Constitution. It is just terrible they're taking all of our wealth and throwing it away, and we know we can spend our money better than they can. And you talked about drunk drivers again and the sobriety checkpoints this morning, but you know, right now we are having to cut the money to the sheriffs, what we want to pay our sheriffs here that are protecting us, and the federal government is going to send more money to do sobriety checkpoints. If we cap our money local, we could decide, do we want sobriety checkpoints or do we want to pay our sheriffs more money? And so we just need to get our money back in our own hands.
No, I think you're right. You know, I think we need to take control of our own ship.
And
you know, every time you turn around, you get tapped here, tapped there. You know, if there's money coming down to the county, fine. Let us spend it the way we want to.
But it's, how are we going to be ahead sending it to Washington and they send it back to the union people, to only jobs that hire union people? It doesn't do anything for the private sector.
It doesn't. And again, it's big government. And you made a big point here, Roberta, and I want, everybody needs to think about this one. It's not just the Democratic Party.
No.
This started many years ago. We're talking about Bush wanted to open up the borders practically when he did the amnesty. And the people rose up and said, this is wrong. We are not going to do that. And this was a Bush, McCain, Feinstein, whoever else was involved in this thing got slapped down.
Yeah.
You know, the people spoke. And it's the same thing we would start talking about, a lot of Burke writes about illegal immigration. We can't do this. We can't keep bringing people in. And I don't care what party it is. In fact, it's gotten to be it's just one party in many cases.
I agree with you.
So when Pete says he's running as a Republican, you know, to me it's like, okay, he's running as a Republican. You know, somehow I wish people could say, hey, I'm running as a patriot. I'm running as an American patriot.
Yes, that's good. But, you know, I don't believe this is the time to try to do third party. So I am glad that Pete is running as a Republican.
Right. But, Carl, you know, for the record, though, I want to stress this. I am a Republican. That's the party I've always loved and been with and agreed with most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm running under, that banner. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm a conservative before I am a Republican. I will break ranks any day in a beat of a heart if I see the Republican Party going in a direction I don't agree with. And there's a lot of those examples right now. So although I'm a Republican, I am definitely a conservative first.
Yeah, I'll say two things. What makes a country is borders, language, and custom. So we need to keep our country. We need to secure our borders and our language and our customs. That's what made America great. And the other thing is, my brother said yesterday, you know, we talk about we can't just go into a grocery store and take groceries off the shelf if we're poor. We can't just steal them, but we can walk into a hospital and we can ask those doctors and nurses and everybody at the hospital. They can walk in there and they want it for free. There's something wrong with the picture. You need food more than you need medical attention, and you can't just walk in a grocery store and take your food off the shelf. So.
Okay, we've got to take a break.
Yeah, sure.
Thank
okay,
you
bye-bye.
So much for calling.
Have a nice day.
This is Carl Lindebaugh. Our guest on Free Fire Radio is Colonel Pete Stiglitz, running for United States Congressman. This is KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, last night I sat there, I was having a cigar. You know, one I bought there. And, you know, they have a fine walk-in humidor. Anything you can imagine to support smoking a cigar. You know, cutters and humidors, you know, right types of lighters. And I think about Espresso Joe's. We can get the coffee that you want at a very reasonable price. And, then of course, coffee beans. Joe and Shelley have a great place there at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They support our community. They're a local business. You should support them.
Okay, I have something to tell you about coffee beans really fast. If you grind your own coffee beans, you're going to need to store them whole until you're ready to use them. Okay, what's the best way to store your coffee beans? Choosing the right container makes all the difference. Do not put them in the refrigerator. Store them in a dark, airtight container at room temperature. And ground beans will be good for about 2 weeks. So the longer the coffee beans sit, the more flavor dissipates. It's best to buy fresh roasted coffee and use it within 7 to 10 days. How many of you bought coffee beans and sit it in, and let it sit in your shelf forever?
And you know, I'm sure that's part of Colonel Pete Stiglitz, is one of the three things he wants to really? To get out in Congress.
Thank you for that information.
There you go.
Well, I used to store my coffee beans in the freezer. Thinking if it was in the freezer, but no, don't. Do not. Okay, so we're just learning more and more about how you make the best coffee. Good morning, Pete Stiglitz. Great. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running for United States Congressman.
Yeah.
Morning.
Hi. I'm having a good time. The hour's flying by here.
Oh, it is.
Okay, at the break, you said you had three important issues you wanted to get out. So let's go there.
Well, we've talked about the first one, which is getting back to our constitutional principles, all right? And that's key. And before I get to the last two, I want to take one more second to tell you about this really neat initiative that I've endorsed. And you can go to my website at www.ColonelPeteForCongress.com, and you can click on the YouTube video about it. And that is an initiative called Bring Home the Politicians. Go check it out, man. I love the concept, folks. If you're not familiar with it, the whole idea here is to bring all those congressmen and representatives back home from Washington and bring their offices back to the state level. It can be done. The Constitution allows it. The rules of the Congress allow it. Bring those representatives back home, put them in their states, and make their primary office location here in their home state where they can telecommute like our technology allows us to do. And the other part of that is bring home the state representatives in Sacramento, the assemblymen and the senators at the state level, bring them back home to their districts and put their seat right there in the district where they are surrounded by all of their voters, and it makes it real hard for those special interest groups to show up and travel around to all 50 states trying to cut a good deal for themselves when all these elected officials are spread out around the country. Right now, they're all in Washington, D.C., sitting together, and it makes it real easy pickings there. So check it out. It's a really good concept.
We've got a question that's just come in.
Okay, go ahead.
And just said is, I'd like to know if he's ever owned or run a business, or have you only been in the military?
Well, I went right into teaching school right out of college. And then in a period of a year or two, I moved to California, and my brother worked a construction business down in the L.A. area doing concrete work. And if you can believe it, I was wheeling concrete and doing concrete finishing for about a year or so with him. And then I ventured out on my own for about a year and a half with my own, it was called a cleanup crew, and with Anthony Pools down there. And I had my own bobtail dump truck, and I had a bobcat tractor, and my brother and I went around and did cleanups after the work was done. And I'm going to tell you something. I only lasted about a year and a half. That was the hardest job I ever had. I never went to sleep knowing that I had a job lined up the next day. I had no guaranteed paycheck at the end of the month. I didn't have health care coverage. I'll tell you what, What I walked away from that job with was a newfound appreciation for every single small business owner. The heartbeat of the engine of America's job growth and productivity is small businesses, and those folks deserve every bit of help and assistance they can get from the American government and from the state-level government. Instead of all the regulations and the taxes, gosh darn it, folks, we ought to be helping those folks. All that stimulus money should have gone to help those small businesses, because that's where the real solutions are. So, I mean, that was a short duration, about a year and a half of my own business. It was a tough one, and I learned a lot of good lessons that I kept with me all these years.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I? You want to show those last two?
Yeah.
So real quick, I'll just talk them off, because, you know, frankly, we've already talked about them. Yeah. Number two for me is balancing the budget. Nothing else really matters if this country goes bankrupt, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, as we all know, we're sitting on a $12 trillion debt. Most folks don't even know what that means, can't even understand the concept of $12 trillion. That's expected to even double in the next 10 years to about $24 trillion. And the big, ugly secret that a lot of folks aren't even aware of is that we have a $65 trillion unfunded requirement that we owe for Medicare and for Social Security, and we have no idea where that money is going to be coming from. So on top of the $12 trillion, we've got $65 trillion bucks of unfunded entitlements that people in Congress aren't even dealing with. So that's a huge issue, folks. We've got to get a handle on our debt, and otherwise we're going to go on bended knee to the Chinese asking them for a loan and a bailout again. So the other one, Carl, you already talked about, and I gave you a big attaboy out there in the hallway, and that was illegal immigration. This is nonsense, and people of common sound minds ought to be able to get together and come to a solution on that. I don't understand what the problem is with understanding what the word illegal means. It's pretty simple to me. And we've got laws, either going to enforce those laws or this country falls into chaos, which in the case of immigration, it probably is in a state of chaos. We've got to fix illegal immigration.
Okay there, Colonel Pete. We've got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio.
Passion.
On our 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Join us on the other side.
Wow. What was that?
Yeah, it's that Colonel Pete Stiglitz music there. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. Okay, Pete. Last thoughts here.
And keep it short, right?
And keep it short.
Okay, folks, I apologize. I've been told I speak too fast and I speak too much. But you know what? I apologize for that, and I'll try to do better in the future. I just care. I care a lot, and I'm passionate about this stuff, and there's a lot to say, and there's, frankly, a lot to do to get this country back on track again. And if there's anything you walk away with after today's show that you think about as far as where I stand on things, let me just tick off about three or four things, and that'll be it for me. Number one, I'm not going to promise the voters a whole bunch of goodies and entitlements. I cannot do that. I will not do that. In fact, if you elect me, you know, we may lose some of our entitlements, folks, because we've got to bring that debt down. Number one, I will not support any bill that doesn't pass the constitutional smell test. Number two, I won't support any legislation that adds a single penny to the national debt. I will not support any bill I haven't had time to read and fully understand. And I won't ever compromise my long-held conservative values. And that's it. So as I walk away, hopefully you'll remember those things.
Well,
thanks,
you know,
Carl.
When you got a lot of things to say in a short period of time, sometimes we have to talk fast. But this will not be the only time Pete Stiglitz will be on the show. All of our everybody that's running for office, we want them to be on the show. We want all of our listeners to hear them. We want to get them down eventually to the, you know, to our town forum that we hold down at Tobacco and Brew on Fridays, so people can look you in the eye and ask you a question. You know, so people can say, you know, could see what your eyes are saying when they ask you that question, not just something in a soundbite.
So I have a question, Pete. For those people who perhaps don't want to call in, or people get shy and don't want to call in on the radio, but they're listening, you do blog. So tell our listeners where they can go and ask you questions, and you could create a conversation with them via the Internet.
Well, yeah, thanks for asking that. It's a great chance to plug my website. It's ColonelPete4Congress.com, and you can use number 4 or spell it out, doesn't matter, ColonelPete4Congress.com. And there, from there, you can link right over to my Facebook account, or you can go right to Facebook and look me up. And a lot of that stuff's new to me, but I'm getting good at it, and I try to communicate with everybody on a regular basis. So I've got a lot of good information on the website. If you go there, you can learn a lot more about me that we don't have time to get into today. So
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Free Fire Radio. And like Carl said, we are going to have everybody who's running and hopefully everybody who's actually holding office at this time.
And if they don't, we'll publicize that a lot.
Yes. You know, you got 5 days a week to be here from 7 to 9 or call in.
I think you can always find time for whoever's running.
and you can be assured, you call, I'm ready to come and participate in any forum you guys have.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot there, Pete.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
One last thing, let me say this about Pete, too. Pete's been involved in all the veterans organizations, everything that's been going on veteran-wise here in the last 6 months that I know of. Yeah, Pete's been involved, including our Christmas with the troops and so many other things. And we appreciate that, Pete, just on another level, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and you never, you know, and of course you never ever said anything about running for office during any of those times.
Nope.
Which is the correct way of doing it. Anybody that uses their military service or, you know, and I've seen this before. I've actually seen people running with uniforms on.
It's really, really great to you.
You want to grate my nerves. Okay. The rest of this week, we've got some great shows and guests lined up. Tomorrow is Eric Beecham from...
Mark
Beecham, which is even better.
Yeah.
Because who's ever heard of Eric Beecham?
Yeah, because his brother is living somewhere off the grid.
Off the grid. Anyway, Mark Beecham, not business as usual. He's writing a regular column now for the Record Searchlight. But we've known Mark for a couple of years now, and he has another way of looking at business and the things that are important. He's our guest for tomorrow. Wednesday's going to be totally open line as of right now. And then Thursday, we have Eric Whitcomb from Five Star Bank. He's going to be talking about the future. You know, let's look at 2010 and what's going to be happening in the banking industry and in business. Friday, when we've got Josh Lowry, who's running against Jerry Benito for the Shasta County District Attorney.
And then we'll take him over for the internet. Live internet show that we do at Tobacco and Brew at 12 o'clock noon. Join us over there, again, where you can ask the hard questions face-to-face.
Yeah, lunch with the candidate. We, you know, there's lunch over there that, you know, that you can have lunch. You can ask him questions. You can ask, you know, why do we want to elect you?
It's currently 36 degrees. It's a little foggy out this morning, so be careful. But according to the weather service, the fog should be lifting, and we're going to have a high of 57 today. So, like I said, be careful out there in the fog. Drive a little bit more carefully than usual. This is great. Happy New Year. Happy 2010. This is your chance. We're here. We are here, 1326 Market Street. We're here in the station, in the studio. And Carl and I are very committed to being a voice, helping to make some changes here, to bring light upon some things that need to be changed. And also always acknowledge our heroes, people who are doing things to make changes, people who are doing things that are noble, that perhaps don't say what they're doing out loud. We want to let you know about what's happening in the North State. We're always taking your calls and your emails at kcnr1460.com.
We've been getting tons of support from our community, and thank you so much. I mean, you know, the letters, the emails, phone calls. You know, a lot of people were not sure about Dennis Miller. They're going, who's Dennis Miller? But now we are starting to get, Dennis Miller, give him a chance. This man grows on you. Like today, his guests are going to range from John Bolton, who used to be the former U.N. ambassador to the U.N. Then he's going to have Mitch McConnell, who is the Republican senator from, who is Republican senator from Kentucky and the Senate minority leader. And then Don Shula. Used to be the Miami Dolphins coach. His guests range from Sarah Palin to Mitch McConnell to Hulk Hogan to people I've never heard of. But he does it in a quick, he does it with his very quick wit, and he does not slam people. I know we've got 20 seconds left. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.